Welcome to the Harborcast, a weekly podcast on Bible, pop culture, history, fall, and any other random thing. I'd like to welcome you this week. If you're a fellowship student or just anyone, thanks for joining us again as we continue on this journey of Season 2, Episode 2 of the Harborcast. Welcome. What's up, Danny? How are you doing today?
Man, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Hey, so let's get right into it today. We're continuing our journey in Acts chapter 2. This last week, we looked at the day of Pentecost. It got real. Holy Spirit was here. And so, this week we're looking at basically the church. What happens after the day of Pentecost? Or what is the result of the Holy Spirit working? And this is a great segment for, this Acts chapter 2 is just a great chapter in the Bible and in history. And it's really important for the church because it's not just looking back at history, but we are seeing ourselves. Right? Now we are in the age of the Spirit. You know, we no longer have Jesus walking physically with us, but we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We are now the temple, the dwelling place of the Lord, if we have faith in Him, if we haven't placed our trust in Him, if we are justified by that. And so it's really, really good. It's really good news. And so what we're going to see is this Sunday is why we come to church and what's the result of the actions of the Holy Spirit, what happens to believers. I know throughout, whenever I was in high school and college and stuff, you'd talk to people growing up in church, like, hey, where do you go to church? And you'd often get the response, well, you know, I don't really go to church. I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying. What you're saying is not inherently evil, or it's not a sin, but it's not right. True. Right? So what tends to happen is people are like, well, I'd rather sleep in on Sunday. I'd rather not be around these people. I'd rather not do these things. And I can still believe in Jesus. And you know, you can still believe in Jesus. You're right. You can still believe in Him. But what Acts chapter 2 is going to do is it's basically saying, if you were a follower of Jesus, these are things that are inherently needed within the church. And these are things that you should want to do and you should do. Remember, Acts 2 is a history of the early church taken by Luke. And it's declaring and showcasing how the church continues the mission of Jesus. And so we're going to kind of talk about how today, specifically in like Western culture and society, how we have turned what is a communal religion into some sort of individualistic idea. Mm-hmm. And so it's good news. I mean, so you who have been struggling with the idea of, man, why do we go to church? Hold up. We're going to get there. Acts is good, and it's going to show us. And when Paul's writing letters to church, he's writing them to churches, not just individuals. He's writing them to the whole body.
Right.
And so there's importance, and that should give you enough answers to that. But so I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but I'm going to give you three hot takes for believers. And so these are my, Blake's, hot takes for believers. Enter the music there. but first thing we see is this, and this is in, I take this from verses 42 to 43. They listened, learned. I was trying to get another L, but I couldn't find a synonym. Gathered, participated, ate, and prayed together. They practiced. And so they were found in association with each other. They were fellowshipping, they were gathering. So immediately after these 3,000 people came to know Jesus, and remember, there was more than 12 apostles at this. There was hundreds of apostles. Well, 12 apostles, hundreds of believers that were with the apostles at this time, mm-hmm. and were with Peter at this preaching, because he's letting them know, hey, we're not drunk. Okay, and so what happens was after they received the Spirit, Luke recounts, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So that means they came underneath, they listened, and they were being taught. and not just being taught, like sitting in a classroom. They fellowship. So the word fellowship is to associate, to do life, to be together, to eat. It says the breaking of bread and the prayers. So these are essential things in the church. That's why Baptists always eat well, you know. We take that very seriously.
Yes, we do.
We don't do other things well, but we eat. And then it says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And so when they were doing this, they weren't alone. They weren't doing this individualistically, but in community. And so the awe came upon every soul, not just one soul, but every soul. All right, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So the Holy Spirit was working. All right, these could be healings. These are teachings. These are prophesying. These are, we don't have what Luke accounts specifically, which doesn't really matter. But he's saying these things are done, and it's being done within a community. Right. Yeah. And then the second thing we see is they're united. Hot take is they're united on one thing, and we see that in 44 through 45. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So the one thing they were united on was Jesus and the mission. Mm-hmm. So these people who confessed and repented and believed and received the Spirit, they didn't take Jesus' words as just a suggestion.
Yeah.
Right? They believed in what he said when he said, take care of the needy and the poor. Mm-hmm. Sell your things and... Yep. And follow me. They did. They actually did that. They said, well, you know, I really like my Yeezys and I really like my Razor scooter and I like my 20-inch rims. And I'm talking to myself. I don't have a Razor scooter, but I have those other things. And, you know, I like Jesus, but I can't give that up. Yeah. Well, these people were so filled with the Spirit that they gave up their things to follow and to take care of others. And the only way that's going to happen in the church today, and in that church, the only way it happened was because they reunited on Jesus and the mission that he called them to. It was the main thing that it was the thing that motivated, guided, directed these believers in the apostles. So they took his word seriously and applied it daily to walk the walk, as we would say, not just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk. And this is what Jesus, he talks about, like, you guys are going to do great things in ministry. More things than I've done. And these are the things he's talking about. Like, you know, Jesus, we have those accounts of the rich young ruler who says, Jesus, I've kept all your commands. Mm-hmm. I believe in who you are. And Jesus says, that's great. Get rid of all your things and come follow me. And he left sad because he was a man of great wealth.
Right.
And he didn't follow him. He couldn't give it up. And so that's the difference. When I talked about this Sunday, it's like Jesus just calls for you. That's all he wants. Yeah. He doesn't want your things. He wants you. He wants your full and undivided attention. And so then my third and final point is they worshiped weekly with each other. That's important. And so it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Christianity is not a religion form for you to go on by yourself. This is not Buddhism. This is not Hinduism. This is not fill in the blank, you know, the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, okay? This is a religion that's deeply rooted within community, deeply rooted in being together, deeply rooted in the practice of eating and fellowshipping and living life and praising, doing these things together. Now, yes, there is individualistic responsibility, but that responsibility and that accountability does not come by one, but it comes by many others.
Right.
And so today, like within our culture and society, we have reasoned and rationalized, hey, it is my thoughts and my beliefs, mm-hmm. and they're different than everybody else's. And as long as I'm okay, I'm okay.
Right.
Well, that wouldn't work in the church. It's saying we should be united right. under this idea. Yes, we can have different opinions, and we'll see that through Acts with Paul and Peter. They're gonna have some issues on like circumcision and these things, but they're mm-hmm. secondary, and it's not right. going to get in the way of preaching the gospel. And they decide to separate because they see that this is better for the advancement of the gospel if we do this. But we have broken this thing down, and A lot of it comes down to this time period called the Enlightenment, and you guys will learn more about that as you further your education, or if you get nerdy into scripture and in church history. I mean, it's not in scripture, but church history, and you'll see how we as humans tried to make things measurable. That's what the Enlightenment did. It was part of it was trying to make Christianity or just religion a quantifiable substance. So rationalizing it down into a measurable idea, or rationalizing it into an individualistic idea. And so you could have this belief and these devotions, but they're not going to affect others because it's an individual thing. Well, heads up, one, the life and death of Jesus and his resurrection is not rationalistic at all. Like, there's no rationalism. Right. There's no rational thought or idea to that. And what Jesus did was not done individualistically, but for everybody. Yeah. Like, he died for all so that they may repent, okay? And so what we're going to see is that community is at the very essence of Christianity. And so as young people who are following Jesus, or we're trying to figure it out, man, if we take anything away that from this, is that in order to follow Jesus, I need to be in a church.
Yeah.
Like, they go hand in hand. It's not, oh, I can follow Jesus and not be in church. No, to truly follow Jesus, you need to be within a church, right, within a community of believers. And so I'm excited to get to walk through this with you guys. Danny, what are your takes on this?
You know, man, I know we're in Acts, but I have to jump all the way down to where Paul is talking in Hebrews 10:25, saying, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And I like that scripture because, like you said earlier, Blake, people are saying, hey, I believe, but I don't have to come around. But if you come back to Acts, you're looking at it saying that praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily. So how can you add to the church? How can we do that if we're all by ourselves, if we're just staying at home? We have to come in, assemble with one another. So that's what I love about Hebrews, and where Paul is teaching us, okay, look, let's not forsake coming around other believers. I like it because in today's time, you know, I don't know what you're going through, Blake, but when I come in to church, you can feed off of my energy. You can, if you're depressed, I can try to help you with that. Mm-hmm. If you're down, or if you're struggling, or if you're going through something, I can glean from that.
Where was that Sunday? I was sad.
I was here Sunday.
Yeah, but I was sad. Oh, you lost. I was bummed.
Hey, I was sad with you.
My air conditioner wasn't working.
We were both going to be sad Sunday then, because LSU lost Sunday. Yeah. So
I was happy about that.
I wasn't happy about that. I was happy that Alabama won. But I just love how Paul just uses that even in Hebrews, and he just going through Acts. I love the fact, especially these last ones, of it's really a community. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a lot of us, and that's what pop culture and social media has let us know, is you can do things on your own. But, you know, Acts is teaching us that, no, you need community. You need someone to lean on. You need some other believers to really glean from going through this Christian walk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're not made to do this alone. You're not saved alone.
Nope.
It took someone literally sharing the good news with you.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, Christianity, like, do I believe someone could be out in the desert all alone and come to know Jesus? Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
I do believe in God's power. But Jesus says, and Paul says, it's through the preaching of the word. The word of God.
Yeah.
And so we have to do that. And we have to be together to do that. And so, hey, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back with some fun talk. And we're back. Hey, Danny, what's happening this week?
Man, look, I am more excited than a fat kid at a candy store. You want to know why? Yeah. My Los Angeles Lakers are finally back in the finals after 10 long years. Wow. I want to flip this table over right now and just start hollering and screaming.
I mean, you can, but don't. I wouldn't do that. It would sound bad on the radio.
Tomorrow, I will be square in front of my TV with every piece of Laker paraphernalia, anything that I have, hat, jersey, jacket, everything will be on. RIP to Kobe right now, because I know he's the one that's helped us get this far this year.
Oh, that's bad theology. Bad theology.
But I am so excited, dude. You don't understand how excited I am. I've waited 10 years and really about 6 for us just to make it to the playoffs. So even though it does not look the same, even though it is not a what I would call a normal championship going from L.A. to Miami, L.A. to Miami, I am still excited because for the first time in 10 years, we're back in the promised land where we belong. Nah. And I believe that the Lakers will win in 6 games. That's my hot take.
That's your hot take. Well, yes. I'm not excited for you, but I think the NBA is rigged, so it doesn't really matter.
Wow. Okay.
Dude, you cannot say with a straight face that the NBA does not have some... You're a Laker fan. You know it's rigged. Well, we talked about this at lunch. Chris Paul not being allowed to go to the Lakers, but then being able to go to the Clippers.
Well, I mean, I look at it like this, too. The NBA knows how they want to make money.
Yeah,
I look
so at it, it's fixed.
So it is fixed. I mean, you look at the super team that was created in Golden State. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You got four All-Stars.
I'm fully aware of that team, Danny. Okay. The weakest move of all time, by far.
So, I mean, you're talking about Kobe in his prime with a prime CP3 and a prime Dwight Howard with a decent Paul Gasol and a Lamar Odom coming off the bench. Of course, I'm going to be upset because Stern got
it was a trade.
Not cool.
If CP3 was free agent, he could have gone there.
Well, that's true.
He couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chris Paul, you know, whatever. So, you know, I picked on season one of the podcast, the beginning of the playoffs, I picked the Heat as my dark horse to come out of the East.
You got it.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, they played the best playoff basketball because they played harder. The teams that they played have been in better positions than the team that the Lakers have played.
I can agree.
Because they played two teams that went 7-game series.
I can agree.
And so... they didn't.
Yeah, I can so totally agree.
They got Houston after playing 7, which in a game that they should have lost.
Yeah.
They got Denver in 7 after they, I mean, they should have won a lot earlier. They did that to themselves. So they got two teams that had played 14 games. Mm. You know, they played 8.
Yeah.
That makes a big, that's a big difference, especially when there's only a day rest in between.
That is true.
And so, but the Heat played the Bucks, and smoked them,
literally.
And Boston, who was really good,
very good,
and beat them in 6. Who is a young, fresher team too?
True.
And so, I'm picking the Heat. I'm picking the Heat in 6 because after LeBron and AD, the Lakers are trash.
Well, I
Kuzma is nothing. He you even said this. You haven't said it on the radio. You said he's pretty much worthless.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted him to be that third guy. He just hasn't stepped up. I'd rather we kept Brandon Ingram than to give
up. I bet you would.
Yeah, I would really want him right about now.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. He's great this year.
But, I mean, I love it. You want to know why I love this? Because year in and year out, people like yourself pick against LeBron. So please keep doing it he can keep proving you guys wrong. I love it.
I picked LeBron against the Warriors.
Okay.
I've never hated a team. Well, yeah, I've never hated a team more than the Golden State. I had to really think about that if there was another team. No, it's Golden State. So
yeah, it's Golden
I hate
State
them.
For me.
I hate them more than anything that I probably, well, Texas is up there. I really hate Texas.
I mean,
Kevin Durant went to Texas, so it's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Never trust a Longhorn.
Never.
You heard it here first, guys. life advice, never trust a Longhorn. I'm picking the Heat. First off, their white guys are better than the Lakers' white guys.
That is true.
A lot better.
But Alex Caruso is a good player.
He's not Tyler Hero, who averaged 20 points a game in the Eastern Conference Finals. Duncan Robinson's just a gym hawk who put in the work. Yep. All right. You got Leonard, who's going to offset Dwight Howard.
That is true.
I mean, the top Lakers have the best two players on the court.
For sure. But then Jimmy and Bam are superstars.
You have Jimmy. Bam's not a superstar. He will be.
He will be.
He's not he's not well known enough yet, but he will be. You have Jimmy Bam, and then you have Hero.
Yeah.
Which he's not even the fifth. You have Bam, I would say Butler, Bam.
What about the slam dunk champ?
Yeah, but he's only averaging. I looked it up. He averaged like 1.8 points a game.
Never mind.
He plays defense.
One
right?
dunk a game, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's getting. Drahic is.
Goran. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a backup.
He likes coming off the bench. He said.
No, he's good. Yeah, yeah, it's good for him. He controls the ball off the bench. You have Iguodala in his sixth straight finals.
Yeah.
LeBron hasn't done that. LeBron has not done six straight. So.
LeBron has done six straight.
No, he hasn't. He didn't. He wasn't in there last year.
Thought he was before.
No.
Nah.
No.
Oh, he just missed one. Yeah, he's missed one.
He's been 7 out of 10, I thought.
Oh, yeah, 7 out of 10. So, yeah, and then he did the one with the horrible Cleveland team, and then he did.
That's his greatest achievement.
Yeah, he did three
everything
in
else
a row,
he was riding all the coattails
three
of other players.
In a row with, what, Miami, and then he did three in a row.
No, he did two in a row. With
two in a row with Miami?
He won. No, three in a row.
He lost to Dallas.
Lost the first one.
One,
two.
And then won two, so that's
then
three.
Left.
Then left.
Went to two with Cleveland. Lost the first one. Won the second one. Left. Went to Miami.
That is true.
Or did he lose?
No. He lost. He so lost two to go
yeah,
to state.
Yeah, one. Lost the first one. Won the second one. Lost this.
Yeah, lost
because
this.
He beat Kevin Durant and lost
right,
to Kevin Durant.
And lost the other. So, yeah, that's right. So,
no,
7 out of 10 is not bad.
No, he. Kevin won two championships.
Yeah, Kevin won two. So, yeah, we lost to him twice.
But they lost to him before Kevin Durant.
True. We
because
won,
Kyrie was hurt.
Cleveland won 16. So that means 17 and 18 were Golden State. Mm-hmm. 19 was
Toronto.
So Lakers are 20.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they didn't even make the playoffs last year.
No.
Anyways, I think the Heat, because I think their bench is better. I think they are better shooters. Bank play point. No one will be able to guard him except for Anthony Davis, maybe. That will take away his scoring. Jimmy and LeBron will kind of lock each other up on the defensive end. So it's going to be who can shoot.
And
Miami
shoot.
Is full of shooters.
Yeah, we cannot
shoot. And they're athletic. They can run. That's the one thing, man. They can run.
They can.
That's why the Lakers beat the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Because they had all these forwards and centers playing because all their guards were hurt.
Yeah.
And they couldn't run with them.
Yeah.
Except for Murray. And so I'm picking Miami, and so it's going to be fun. It's going to be weird that it's there, but it should be really good basketball.
It should.
I'm excited to see how – the only thing that would get in Miami's way is those guys are young.
Yeah.
But they're not going to have the, in-your-face lights and glitz, like when the Thunder went and played.
Oh, yeah.
Miami, and they had the Thunder were the home court.
Yeah, they did.
Because they had the best record.
Yeah.
And they won game one and handily.
And just went.
And then game two, there was a bad call.
Yep.
And they should have won.
Yeah.
And then they lost four in a row.
All momentum gone then.
Yeah, they kind of, I just remember that picture of Katie shoulder over Westbrook and Harden. I'm like, man, this is awesome. Next year's going to be great.
No.
Yeah. No, watching the OU Notre Dame game. Breaking news, James Harden's been traded to Houston, and I just wept.
Yeah.
What? And then OU lost to Notre Dame. Monte Teo and his fake girlfriend. And they put that day on a t-shirt. So anyways, those are just bad memories. I apologize for dragging on about that. All right, so we had the finals. This is a great sports week. Next couple weeks, we had the finals. We have NFL football. We have college football.
Yep.
And then we have Major League Baseball playoffs. And the great thing about the playoffs for MLB this year is these first couple games are the best of three. Hmm. So they're short. So what we're going to do, Danny, is I'm just going to name the series, and you're going to name the winner, and then we'll move on to the next thing. All right?
Okay, I know nothing about baseball,
I'm just going to pick. All right, Astros, Twins.
I'm going to go Twins since the Astros are cheaters.
That's a good call. they have a terrible batting average. Twins can really hit the ball.
Cool.
White Sox, Athletics.
I guess I go White Sox.
White Sox. Southside. All right. Blue Jays, Rays.
Rays.
That's a good call. Rays actually won their division, did the Yankees, and the Yankees were good.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's amazing the Blue Jays got in the playoffs, but they have a young Guerrero there. Yankees versus the Indians.
Yankees.
I think that one may be closer than people think. I would love to see a Yankees upset. Jared Lemons is a Yankees fan.
Well, I can never bet against the Yankees. Can't do it.
It's easy. Reds versus the Braves.
I think
the Braves.
I guess I'd go with the Braves, yeah.
Braves are really good. Yeah. Freddie Freeman, he may be the MVP. All right, so Marlins, Cubs.
Man, you know what? I had a friend of mine that went to DBU that played for Miami, so I'm going to have to go with Miami.
Yeah, but there's a guy from DBU that went for Chicago.
You did?
Yeah.
When
won
was
a
this?
World Series 5 years ago.
Oh,
2016.
Because I wasn't paying attention.
No, man, yeah. It's amazing that the Marlins are in the playoffs. Let that sit in. Because they literally traded everybody. Cardinals versus the Padres.
Oh, Cardinals.
That's a good call. I love the Cardinals. That's my team. Padres are hot right now. So I'm preparing for disappointment, but I'm picking the Cardinals with my heart. go with my heart, not my brain. Brewers versus the Dodgers.
Dodgers, man.
Yeah, Dodgers. Dodgers win that. I think that's all of them. That's all of them. So you guys heard it there first. Remember that. Write that down. Give Danny a hard time.
Yep.
All right, final sports take for the day, and then we'll move on to our fun last little topic area. So the Cleveland Browns, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, my Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns fan for life.
Wow.
Not really.
It's been a rough couple of years for you.
Basically when Baker went there, became a fan. But, hey, you can't call me a bandwagon fan.
You're not.
All right, because they're bad. Arizona Cardinals fan for life, too.
Hey,
they're actually pretty good.
Do you have?
They're over 500 for the first time in 80 games.
That's horrible, man. That's like 6 years, 6-7 years.
Yeah, yeah. Because Baker, his rookie year, he didn't start the season.
No, he
did. But he got them to 500.
He did.
He got them to 500, and they never went over 500.
Whew.
Now they're over 500 after a week one loss, where people are like, "Is Baker the man?" And next week in Cincinnati, and Joe Burrow,
yep,
who got rocked. We watched that video. He's the Eagles. Had the best QBR that week.
Yeah, he did.
Moved him up into the top 10 in the NFL ahead of Lamar Jackson, believe it or not.
Wow.
Are the Browns for real?
I will say this. The Browns may be for real for this year only because of this schedule. Anytime you're playing the NFCs, and yes, I am a Cowboys fan, you can automatically at least get two games out of those four. Okay,
they got one.
They got one. Thank y'all for beating Washington. Yeah. That helps us in our division. Yeah. 8-8 wins our division every year.
Yeah.
So
Haskins threw like two or three picks for
three.
That secondary,
yeah,
this is not good.
Three.
Maybe better than the Cowboys, though.
Way better. I think our secondary is like last, probably.
I think if Tyron Smith is not back for that Browns game, Myles Garrett may kill Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I can see that happening just because the edge protection that we have right now with Travis Steele. Now, we did do something different, though. We had a new guy in. I forgot his name, but he kind of held up on that side. But when
he didn't play Myles Garrett, though.
Yeah, it's not Myles Garrett. Make sure your helmets are strapped on tight with Myles Garrett. That's all I'm going to say.
And that Aggie, man. Aggie anger. Yeah.
But, I can see. I mean, I've always said that Cleveland has a great nucleus. They have a great quarterback. They have two great running backs, Chubb and Kareem. I mean, you got a good defensive line with Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. You can't ever pick against OBJ and Jarvis Landry. You just really can't. Those are some things that you just have to deal with.
Good tight end.
Yeah, Austin great Hooper. Tight end, Hooper. So I believe that they have a good formula, and all they really needed was a couple of wins in the beginning so they can believe in themselves a little bit more.
And a coach that knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, this year I can see them really going 9-7 this year, maybe 10-6.
Yeah.
Not winning the division, of course. I don't see
Baltimore
them winning the division.
Will win.
Yeah, Baltimore will definitely win the division. There's an extra playoff seat, though, this year. I could see them coming in at that 10-6. I really can.
Yeah, because the East is bad.
Yes, very.
So they're
going to
get one team in.
Yeah, you're going to get someone in. So I can really see them. I'll give them this year, and I think that that'll catapult them for next year. Yeah. Now I don't ever see the Browns as an 11-5 or 12-4. I just don't see that right now. Now maybe in the future, because I mean Baltimore is going to be good for a while.
Yeah,
Baltimore is going to be good.
Yeah, they have a good offensive scheme.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. They're a run heavy team.
They are
the number one running team probably in the NFL right now. So Baker's not having to do everything. It is frustrating because I think Baker is a good passer. If he was in like the system that Burrow is in, where he threw it 50 times.
50, yes.
Against them, Baker could do well.
He could.
But, I mean, he gambles a little bit.
Yeah.
But, man, when you have two running backs like that, that's how you win.
That's how you win.
That's how you win championships.
Drain the clock.
I mean, that's what Kansas City had to do.
Yeah.
Damian Williams, Boomer Sooner, should have won the Super Bowl MVP last year.
He really should have.
He got ripped off. Like,
he did.
He was the best player.
He was.
They rode him, and he won them the game. And
which is why they went and got Clyde.
Well, because he opted out. He opted out.
Yeah. LSU, go Tigers.
He's celebrating over that Super Bowl win. I mean, we'll see how they do against Pittsburgh. I think they could still win from Baltimore week one.
I can see that.
All their defensive backs were out with injury.
Right.
And so, you know, they beat Lamar bad last year.
They did.
So, there's opportunity there. So, we'll see. I think they are definitely better than last year. I think Baker is motivated. He's got something to prove. Mm-hmm. Shut the haters up.
Yeah.
Guys, he's had four head coaches in 3 years.
Yeah, that sounds about.
That's what happens when you're a number one pick.
That's what happens.
And
gotta have time to develop. And then I think also, I'm really not taking the NFL really seriously until week five. With no preseason, I mean, you really haven't had time to work out the kinks. Yeah. You really haven't had time to really gel as a team. All you've had was a condensed training camp, a couple of walkthrough practices, a couple of scrimmages within, you know, your team. So no scrimmages against really other teams. So I really look at it as the first 3 to 4 weeks, teams are still trying to find their true identity, which if you're doing well right now, it's a plus for you. But don't sleep on the teams that are, you know, 1-2 or, you know, now if they're just haven't won a game yet, then that's something different. But I'm not sleeping on, like, even my Cowboys. I really do believe that my Cowboys should be 0-3 right now. I mean,
they could easily be 3-0.
Easily 3-0 with just minor mistakes, secondary.
The two teams they've lost to are, the Rams lost.
Yeah, the Rams lost. Atlanta's 0-3. Seattle's,
again, could be 3-0.
Right. Seattle's 3-0. And, I mean, these are all close games. I mean, really close.
This isn't a Cowboys. I'm not talking about them. So.
But, hey, I'm with the Browns, though. Yeah. I like seeing great quarterbacks do great things. So I like Baker.
I like Baker too. I think his teammates like him. I don't know if OBJ likes anybody, but it don't matter. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. It is fall, y'all. We talked about that last week. We talked about the things that get us excited about the fall. Cooler weather, hoodies, vest, wearing jeans without sweating, just football, baseball, lots of good things. But now, the most important thing, pumpkin spice. So this is going to be a quick question. Danny, are you down with the spice?
No. I'm really not a big pumpkin. My mom is. I don't really like pumpkin like that. Like, at all.
You like pumpkin pie?
No.
Okay. Well, all right. Anyways, I got some 16 pumpkin facts that will make you say, oh, my gird.
Good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right. Here you go, guys. The word pumpkin showed up for the first time in the fairy tale Cinderella.
Did not know that.
Yeah. A French explorer in 1584 first called them gross melons, which was translated into English as pompions, according to history. It wasn't until the 17th century that they were first referred to as pumpkins. Right. The original jack-o'-lanterns were made with turnips and potatoes by the Irish.
Ooh.
Third, pumpkins are grown on every continent except for Antarctica.
Well, that makes sense. It's cool.
Yeah, right. Over 1.5 billion pounds of pumpkin are produced each year in the United States.
Sounds about right.
That's a lot. You basically white girls in your pumpkin spice.
Hey.
You know, right?
Man, that's a lot.
Yeah, them in their Ugg boots. All right. Morton, Illinois calls itself the pumpkin capital of the world. 80% of the U.S. pumpkin crop is available during October.
Hmm.
So, there's a whole another 20% of that 1.5 billion pounds.
Yeah,
billion. Bit the B. The largest pumpkin pie ever baked weighed 3,699 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. All right, pumpkin-flavored sales totaled over $414 million in 2017.
That's a lot.
Danny, you should get into the pumpkin industry.
Man, Mike.
Let's get that music going there. Delaware used to host an annual Pumpkin Chunkin' Championship. Teams competed in pumpkin launching competition where pumpkins were shot almost 5,000 feet from an air cannon. The event was canceled in 2017 after there was a tragic accident the year before. I think I remember that. I think somebody died.
Really?
Yeah, I think it blew up.
What?
Yeah. Because it was like air pressurized air. It was crazy.
Wow.
Number 12, there are more than 45 different varieties of pumpkins. Yeah, they range in color like red, yellow, and green, have names like Hooligan, Cotton Candy, and Orange Smoothie. Do you decorate for fall?
No.
Will you decorate for fall?
I probably will help.
Okay. Pumpkins are technically a fruit.
Makes sense because they have seeds. I mean,
well,
most vegetables.
I was just saying, come on.
But I wouldn't see it as a...
It says more. It says, well, you don't have to be sweet. Oh. Taste it. It says more specifically, they are a winter squash in the family of Kirkenbeckia, I can't say it, which includes cucumbers and melon. So they're like a melon. That makes sense.
Okay.
But because they're savory, many people just call them vegetables anyways. It's like a tomato. It's a fruit.
Yeah.
Every single part of a pumpkin is edible.
Okay.
Yep, you can eat the skin, leaves, flowers, pulp, seeds, and even the stem.
Hmm.
15, pumpkins are 90% water, which makes them a low-calorie food.
Ah.
Danny, you like, you know, we go out to eat, and you like to eat light, so maybe you should get into pumpkin, man.
Probably should.
16, the final one. Surprisingly, pumpkin pie isn't America's favorite. According to a survey by the American Pie Council, it's apple. It's apple that takes the cake. Get it? 19% of Americans say it's their pie of choice. Pumpkin is second place with a respective 13%. I'm a pecan pie guy. Not pecan, pecan.
Man, I am straight southern, man. Sweet potato pie all the way through.
Did you ever have... There was that sweet potato pie craze. Remember Sweet Mama...
What
were they called?
Patty pies.
Yeah, like they just started selling out in Walmart when people discovered about them.
No, man. I mean, I'm sorry, man. Both my grandmothers are from scratch. I don't do store bought, man. So if you go from scratch to store bought, you'd be disappointed.
Well, I'm just gonna let you know something. My mom did not cook anything from scratch. So, and I do think sweet potato pie is a cultural thing.
It is.
Like,
I mean,
I never really, I mean, we like sweet potatoes or yams, but we would never put it in a pie. Like, you know, roast them, glaze them, put some marshmallows on there, give yourself the diabetes.
Yeah, that's good. Brown sugar and butter and stuff.
You could do that in a pie.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe Danny will make us some.
Yeah, no, I bring one.
That's right. We'll eat it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Be bad news. All right, hey, here is the final thing. This podcast is going a little longer than last week. How do we respond to controversial or divisive stories?
How do we respond?
Yeah. How should we respond to... Just thinking about, like, we're in political season.
Uh-huh.
In light of recent events with deaths and murders and just incidents, how can we, as Christians, how should we respond to issues that are going to divide us from our friends or even in the church or politically? How do we respond to that?
One word, compassion. So many times as us as Christians, we are so quick to beat down other people's opinions and or thoughts and not compassionate to what someone else is going through. Jesus talked about it all the way through. Jesus showed compassion. Though he ran up against sinners, he fellowshiped with people who did not believe in what he believed in. He never did shoot them down. He never did talk bad about them. He showed compassion. He showed love. He showed kindness. He showed human affection. And that's something that I believe that our world, and it speaks about it in the Bible, you know, in the last evil days, the world will lose its natural affection. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going through right now. There's no affection with anything, seems like. Everyone is like, it's all for one and one for all. It seems as if, hey, my opinion is the only one that matters. And if you have one that's opposing, we're going to fight it out. And guess what? I don't care about what you say. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear you, but you're going to get my point. And yep. I believe that you have to have compassion, especially today as a Christian, because we're going to run into a lot of people who don't believe in what we believe in, right, especially in this political season. And we have to also realize, look, you're not going to believe in what I believe in. You know, we can still come together as brothers, depending upon, you know, what your political view is and mine is. We can still love one another in spite of that. So we just have right. to have compassion, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I think empathy.
Yeah, that too. Empathy. Yeah.
Empathy. Because we, so how do we respond? Like, man, slowly.
Yeah.
Quick to listen and slow to speak.
Right.
And right now, if we've seen anything, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, get off my lawn.
Yep.
Dude, I'm not on your lawn.
Right.
You did, but, you know, and so when we hear something or something's posted or we see an event, I'm not saying we be silent
mm-hmm.
because too many people have been silent.
Have been silent, yeah.
But we need to think about it.
Yeah, we do.
And be empathetic and think of others in regards to it.
Right.
And so, and we need to understand when we are thinking about our response is, how would this sound if I was opposed to it? Like, you know, like, what is this going to mean if to one of my friends
mm-hmm.
who I love and care for deeply, if right. I said this to them in this manner? Like, if it's going to be hateful and hurtful, then maybe you should reconsider
right.
one, not that you don't have to have, that you can't have an opposing view, but in the way you respond,
you know,
and I think a lot of conversation could be really good.
It could.
If we did that, but we are sheep being led to the slaughter. And
yeah.
so
yeah.
We're like dogs that go nose blind.
Yeah.
You know, if you've had a dog and they just go nose blind, it's impossible.
Yeah, it is.
And they just keep going. And so I just want to encourage you guys this week as we learn more about things that have happened, as, you know, they look to get a Supreme Court justice in, and the right. things that are being said about her
mm-hmm.
And her family and her viewpoints, and you're going to have friends who are going to line up on a different political
yeah.
aspect, or maybe you line up the same and you have some different opinions. Man, before you say anything, think about it.
Think about it, yeah.
Think about who you're talking to.
Right.
Think about your witness,
mm-hmm.
you know, those things. And but I mean, also there is the thing of like standing up for what you believe.
Yeah.
But don't sacrifice love and kindness for yourself, like for the witness of, like, we talk about sacrifice oftentimes
mm-hmm.
and we only talk about sacrifice when it means we don't sacrifice something that we really care about.
True.
Love, like Acts chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should sacrifice that. But don't sacrifice your opinion.
Yeah.
Well, in the name of Jesus, Jesus calls us to sacrifice our opinion.
He does.
You know, yeah. in light
of
who.
You have to think like him,
yeah.
be like him.
Yeah.
So we have to die to ourselves
yeah.
to adopt it.
Right. And we haven't been doing that.
We haven't.
And so guys, this week, man, as you encounter things on the socials or in class or in person, at home, wherever it is, and I'm speaking to myself, I mean, let's be quick to listen, slow to speak,
yeah.
compassionate, empathetic,
yeah.
thoughtful, kind, and you know, which let's continue the mission of Jesus. So this is the podcast for the week, guys. We look forward to next week. Remember to hit that subscribe button there on Spotify or on iTunes. We will be on Amazon hopefully sooner than later. Again, always look for a new podcast to drop on a Wednesday or Thursday every week. Again, this is season 2 of the Harborcast. Thank you.